Welcome to Leadership Matters, a podcast hosted by me, Steve Parker. This is a series that brings a fresh perspective to leadership motivation and how to succeed by talking to a diverse range of CEOs, business managers, and world-class talent. We also offer some personal tips to help you in your career. Each episode aims to provide a snapshot into the life and philosophy of some of Taiwan and the world's most successful leaders, and to find out more about why leadership matters. I am super, super happy to have Damien Potter in the studio today. Well, I'm not actually in the studio, am I? Technically, I'm in a warehouse and Damien's at home. But with the wonderful technology we've got these days, we're able to communicate. I've known Damien for well over 10 years. I first met him as the deputy representative for the British office in Taipei. He took over the ambassadorship there, the representative position there. And then he took over another ambassador position in Panama, which you carried out successfully for a couple of years. But you've got a special kind of situation, Damien, because you started off in ESPN, as I recall, moved into the diplomatic corps, and now you've gone back into the private sector. A lot of people would be very happy with a career in either. But you've managed to have a career in both and been very successful and got to very high levels in both. And I was doing a bit of background digging on you. You have a degree in languages, basically, right? History, languages. So it's really a liberal arts degree, I think we'd call it, where I came from. Maybe just as a kind of a starting point, just kind of share how you got from, you know, a fairly generalist degree into, I think, the diplomatic corps originally, out of that in the private sector, back in the diplomatic corps, and now you're working with Burson on a global affairs role. It's an amazing history.
No, well, thank you, Steve. Look, it's great to see you again. As you said, we've known each other for 10 years and have stayed in touch with the technology that we have, either voicemails, internet chats, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. So really pleased that we would get this chance to be able to do an interview for your podcast. I'm really, really happy to be where I am. So far, it sounds like an eclectic career, but actually, hopefully that shows the reasons that we took a decision at each stage of the journey. But there was an underlying plan, which was live and work overseas. And that choice as a teenager was able to be a golden thread through all of the different moves that we made.
There's a lot of people out there who are 20, 24, who listen to this podcast. I do have a young demographic as well who are looking into the future. When you're sitting there at 20 or 24, I mean, did you or did you not have this vision of where you were going to be now?
I had a vision that I would live and work abroad. I didn't know that I would be the global chair of a big public relations
Yeah, let's say you're an English teacher traveling abroad and had done all these places and been to all these places, nothing wrong with that. It's a great career. It's an interesting career. Would that have been something that you would or could have gone into because that would have fulfilled your goals?
Yes and no. I mean, look, for me, so firstly, I have a plan A and I like it when plan A comes off, but I also have lots of plan Bs and remain flexible. And as much as the plan is there, we have to look at the opportunities when they come up. The fortunate part of my career is I've worked with brilliant people too. So fantastic bosses, not always bosses that I've agreed with all the time and challenged some of their thinking. And then brilliant people too. Some fantastic people that I'm still in contact with and learn from. Some people that were fit for the job that they were in at the time. And we're connected on LinkedIn and can work with each other should we find the need. But there are some people that you click with and become friends for life as well as work colleagues. And I count you as one of those, Steve.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. I really love this thing that you've been talking about. I count you as a friend too. My apologies. I should have added that on straight away. it was one of those kind of hanging out there, wasn't it?
It was hanging out there. Yeah.
He didn't tell me he loves me.
You can edit that bit down.
I will shut that out, yeah. Yes, but we're here today obviously talking because we have remained friends and we've remained in contact. Yeah. And I think that was an interesting point because you and I mean, we haven't always agreed on things. We've been working in two different divisions, if you like, of a similar entity. We haven't always agreed, but we have always respected the fact that the other person has a view, has an opinion. And I think in different times, we've both changed our perspectives or our opinions or our practices in light of recognizing that the other person has been correct about something.
Yeah, look, 100% that. Look, I had a really good boss early on in my career who said, challenge me once with a really well thought through proposal and strategy and reasons why I should change that opinion, and I'll change my view. And he did, to his credit. This guy became the most senior ambassador in the Foreign Service in Brussels after we'd worked together in Sweden. But he said, challenge me twice without changing your strategy at all, but just raising your voice or a different tone. And it's just going to frustrate you and me because it isn't actually convincing me of something different.
One of the things that I've really, really learned is that there are so many different pathways to get to the same end. You know, I've met a lot of people over the years who have a different way of doing something. And I think maybe as a 30-year-old, I would have thought that's wrong. As a 58-year-old, I've learned to respect that there are different ways. And, you know, putting the dishes in at night or putting them in the morning, you know, does it really matter? You know what I mean? You're still going to have clean dishes the next time you have a meal, right? And I've learned that you've got to let some things go that aren't important. Don't make decisions about things if you don't need to.
I think it's also, so I agree with that. I think it's also that if you're really driven about something, if you feel really passionately about it, you're going to be emotionally involved in that too. And, you know, living in Taipei as an Australian who's worked with different cultures and people from around the world, there is a cultural significance too in the way that we speak and the way that we actively listen to people and the way that we develop. And if we get that, if we're driving for results so much, if we're trying to push through where we want to be so much, then we sometimes let that drive be the enemy of a much better outcome, both for us and the teams with which we work.
Do you think that do you manage teams differently now than you would have, say, 20 years ago? I mean, you've always managed fairly sizable teams, right?
Yeah, look, I've been fortunate. Again, when I was 19 to 21, I worked as a volunteer in France and ran a team of about 200 people. At university, I was a resident tutor, so we had 50 people in the block that I was living in. In the Foreign Service, I managed teams of over 100 people in most of the roles that I had over the last 15 years. And now at Burson, in our practice, we have 500 people. So the teams are big, but my direct reports are smaller. And making sure that I empower the direct reports is really important. That they, firstly, it's win-win because I can't do it all. Secondly, I want them to develop because they at some point can take my role if I'm moving to a different one within an organization. And then cultures where I've worked in Russia and Sweden and Taiwan and Panama, and of course the UK, where the styles are so different that if you behaved in the same way that you would in Russia and Taiwan or vice versa, you'd simply not get the best out of the teams with whom you work.
I want to come back, if I could, to the concept of leadership. This is something that's really super important to me. If you went back and you were going to talk to yourself, kind of that 30-year-old Damien, and say, here's a couple of tricks I think you should really learn about managing people or about leadership itself.
Yeah, so there's a line in the musical Hamilton, listen more, speak less. So I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd been kinder to myself, of knowing that things that I was doing at any given time were really good, and that actually there's no need to put additional pressure on myself. Excellence shouldn't be the enemy of the good in the workplace. I can't be really good at speaking but not so good at writing and ignore that. Similarly with people, I can't just have them be inspired but not instruct them and engage them and listen to them in a way that I would have when I was in my early 30s.
Some of the things that I've heard from you today, people's low expectations of you can actually have the opposite effect of what they expect. Believing in yourself is very, very, very important. Just having a go. If you don't know where you want to go, then it doesn't really matter what direction you take. But if you do know where you want to go, then pick your path, make your plans. The industry for you doesn't seem to matter as much as the family and the ability to kind of do what you want to do. In your case, travel, see the world. We talked a little bit about agreement. There should be questions. There should be better ways to do things. And if you're the only person with ideas in a room or you're the smartest person in that room, then get out of that room because you're never going to be successful. You can't do it all, right? So use the people around you, work with them, develop their skills, but also develop your own skills, right? Do this personal audit that you kind of talked about and we had a conversation about. Being self-aware, right? And you talked about this as well. Listen more than you deliver. Damien, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I've learned a lot. I always do when I talk to people, and you haven't disappointed me today. Is there anything that you would like to kind of leave as a, you know, as a last minute kind of epiphany that you've had, or something you'd like to share with people before we say goodbye?
No, look, it was a great summary. Thank you for summarising it, for listening and for making those notes. It's great to hear some of those thoughts played back to me. For me, it's still have a plan and prepare, go for it, but be flexible because those things will change. Think about the competences. What's the purpose? How do you engage people? How do you deliver? Know what you want, what's good for you, but also how does it help you in years to come and how does it help the team around you? And then my last thought is this. I'm just part way through the journey, so I'm still learning. I still hope to have an interesting career for the next 10 to 15 years before I retire and maybe coach and mentor and support my own kids and my grandkids, hopefully, in the future. But for the time being, we still have things to learn. And that's really crucial, is that if we stop learning, we might as well stop working. There are things that all of us can do better whilst also recognising that we've done some things quite well to get us to the positions that we're in. So thanks for your time, Steve. It's been nice speaking to you as well.
Always keep learning. That's a great place to finish up. Damien, it's been a joy, and thank you for your time.
You can listen to this podcast live on the fourth Monday of every month on ICRT, and after that on the ICRT website, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Leadership Matters by Stephen Parker. You can also check out my social media. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. We'll see you next time.